Thessalonians, we're looking at some distinct themes from this short letter, a letter of containing five chapters in the Bible. Paul is writing, of course, to this fairly new church. And here in verse 17 of chapter 2, we read this. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy? Or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, but you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter has tempted you, and our labour might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can be rendered to God for you? For all of the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Hallelujah. We've entitled this morning's sermon, Sacrificial Love, One for Another. Sacrificial Love, One for Another. Now, you may recall that as we introduce this letter to this new church at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul was very, very anxious as to how they were doing, because he was well aware that there was a lot of hostility, a lot of opposition, a lot of anger directed to the new converts. You read much about this in Acts chapter 17. And again, I would remind you to read Acts chapter 17. But the Apostle Paul, his heart for this church in Thessalonica, it just exudes from every sentence. You know, he has a true pastor's heart. And he tried, as we've just read, to get to Thessalonica, but Satan hindered him. And sometimes, friends, Satan does hinder us. Now look, God is in control. God's in charge. But he does give Satan limits. And sometimes he allows Satan to, as it were, tempt and to test us, to see whether we're going to continue to persevere and seek the Lord. A door may be shut, but what door is God going to open? It's pressing on, you see. I've got a lot of feedback here. So the Apostle Paul, is anxious to know how this new church is doing, because the Jews were really stirred up in hatred. And they were mocking Paul, even from a distance. They were saying, they would be saying to these new converts, Paul doesn't really care about you. He's gone off. He went to Berea. Now he's in Athens. He's left you to get on with it. But Paul is saying, you can read his heart. No, I want to be there with you. At this moment, it is not possible. But I'm doing the next best thing. I'm sending Timothy. Timothy, his beloved son in the faith. Timothy, his right-hand man. Paul was making a sacrifice in sending Timothy to the Thessalonica church to encourage them, to see how they were doing, and then bring back the report to Paul. Hallelujah. This is the heart of Paul. And in these few paragraphs, this passage that we've read this morning, we can see, friends, how love expresses itself, or a kind of pattern as to how the church should relate to one another and to those outside, maybe in our families, maybe at work, maybe in our neighbourhoods, and so on. This is a great passage for us to get our head round. And I'm just going to remind you again what we spoke about last week, because, you know, as we just read, the report that Timothy brought back was a quite encouraging report. They were going on in faith. Mark this morning has spoken about faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And even hearing the word of God this morning, my faith in this almighty God is becoming even more established. Because I know that although I may be weak and insignificant, God is great and almighty, and he can do anything. We have been so encouraged, as Mark has been sharing this morning, of the events of this past week. How he is Jehovah Jireh. He is God our provider. And it is not a time to then become complacent and say, we do nothing. It's time to really get stirred up. And as Mark said, what, Lord, do you want me to do? I may be 80 years old. I may be 90 years old. I may be having a lot of difficulties health-wise. But, Lord, I'm still here. You've still got me here for a purpose. Use me. Here am I, Lord. And it's not about us. It's about the glory of the Lord. It's about the salvation of the lost. It's seeing the prodigals returned. Hallelujah. And we spoke last week that Paul was able to say to the Thessalonians, look, you may be suffering. You may be going through persecution. You may be, as we read in the scripture that we just read, going through lots of heartache and afflictions. But see yourself in Christ. You have been redeemed. Not with silver, not with gold, not even with the blood of animals. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. See yourself in Christ, he's saying. See your afflictions, see your persecution through the lenses of God Almighty. And then he will help you, not only to cope, not only to survive, but to get his perspective, and you become an overcomer. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans, more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. It's not just written to the church in Thessalonica, it's written to the church in Crawley. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. So I'm just speaking, I'm just referring again to verse 17 of chapter 2. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So I've spoken about sacrificial love. I know 15 months ago about we were talking about being connected. Sorry, almost 2 years ago. We're talking about being connected, loving one another, and in the early stages of our connect groups, we went through some of the scriptures, how that should impact us, how it should impact the church, how we truly one another, love, serve, and so on, and so forth. And I realized that at the time, a couple of people also who couldn't commit to this, who just wanted to be attenders, left. And that's sad. But I'm so grateful that God is bringing a body together who truly want to care and love one another. We will get it wrong at times. I may get it wrong. I do get it wrong at times. And so will you. But in a community of love, there's grace. There's forgiveness. There's acceptance. Hallelujah. And we want the best. And as the Apostle Paul is writing to Thessalonica, he says that I want your faith to increase. I want you to be well rooted in the Word, well rooted in God, full of love one for another, so that when he appears, you will be presented blameless in holiness. That's the whole point. You will be presented blameless in holiness before God, as we read in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 3. So let's just remind ourselves, we are to love one another. Love one another. Do you know, John in one of his letters says, let us not love in words or in tongue, but in actions or in deeds and in truth. 1 John chapter 3 verse 18. Let us not love in words or in tongue, but in actions and in truth. Let's be honest, loving isn't always easy. It may not be always easy in a marriage. It may not always be easy in a family. It may not always be easy in the church community. But the fundamental point is, love demonstrates itself in sacrificial action. When we are looking out for somebody else's needs rather than our own, then that changes the situation so often. And Paul is saying, look, I'm sending to you Timothy. I'm going to miss him because I need him in Athens, this godless, immoral, idle city. I need him. I need my co-worker. But you need him more. That's sacrificial love. And so in our connect groups, leaders of connect group, members of connect groups, we don't think, oh no, this isn't my job to give a phone call, to send a card, to visit, to bake a cake. It may well be what God's asking you to do. That's the heart of sacrificial love. Doing those things which perhaps don't necessarily come easy to you. But I want to bless that brother. I want to bless that sister. They are in need. I don't wait for my leader. I don't wait for the pastor, the elder. I'm getting on to do it. Sacrificial love. I'm going to give that lift to that person in my car. I'm not even counting the cost. Now, obviously, we don't be foolish. We don't, you know, some people may take advantage and we have to be wise to that. But we are to love as Christ loved, who gave his life as a ransom for sinners. She's okay. So loving isn't always easy. In your marriage, it may not be easy. But it's a covenant love that you've committed to. And God will make the way if you don't look after your own interest as a priority, but as the interest of your partner, as your loved one, as of your wife, of your husband. Love demonstrates itself in sacrificial action. Taking time when you perhaps don't have any. Sharing from what little you may have. As the great day approaches, friends, let us love one another. Let us love one another. And secondly, we live with one another. Verse 18, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Paul expressed a strong desire to be with those he loved. Do you know, Christianity is a team sport, if you will. It's a team sport. And we should long to be with one another. Because we need each other. And we want to hear what God's doing amongst us. But we need to be hugged at times, don't we? We want to spend time with each other. If you're not part of a connect group, I encourage you to see one of me, myself, or one of the elders. And I know the challenges with young families and so on, I accept that. But we should all want to be part of connect groups and just belonging to each other. And it isn't just Sunday religion, friends, is it? You know, what takes place today should impact you. You know, I was saying to some friends the other day, I like to be encouraged. We all like to be encouraged. I hate flattery. Last week Paul spoke about, look, I didn't come to you with flattery. I didn't come to you, you know, to boost myself or to hear you say nice things about myself. God forbid, it's all to the glory of God. So we don't like flattery, but all of us like encouragement, don't we? Especially when we're bit down and so on. And, you know, when folk may say to me at the end of a service, good word, Pastor. Good word, Pastor. Yeah, good word. Yeah, that's encouraging me. But hey, is it going to be a good word on Monday? Is it still going to be a good word on Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, when the washing machine breaks down, you know, when things are going wrong, when your children are playing up? Is that word still going to be a good word? When your health seems to be going downhill a bit, is a word still a good word? Is it still pointing you to Jesus? Is it still saying, I am the great all-sufficient one? Or are you seeing yourself just as the world sees, as you were when you were an old creation? You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's a good word when things are going wrong, when people oppose you at work, when people oppose you at school, at college, when even your family turn against you and say, where's your God now? Eh? Why is it all going pear-shaped? I'm still putting my faith in the Lord. I'm still trusting him. I may be homeless and I don't know the way forward, but I know my God has the answer. He holds the key of all unknown. I'm trusting him. He will come through. He will respond to the prayer of the righteous man. The righteous prayer availeth much. If you've got everything, you won't need the Lord. And you find you've got nothing in eternity. But the person who is desperate for the Lord, desperate for his holiness, desperate for his grace, his Holy Spirit, the power of God, who is desperate to be filled, renewed, restored, he comes. And although things may still appear on shaky foundation, we're pointed to the Lamb. The one who sits on the throne, and we're in Christ, safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Thirdly, we need to encourage one another. You see, the accusation which I think was being levelled at Paul was, oh well, he's out of sight, so we're out of his mind. But that wasn't so. And the Apostle Paul is demonstrating this chapter. Look, I love you to bits. I love you to bits. I want to be with you. I've done the next best things. I've sent Timothy. He's come back. Now I'm sending a letter to you. I'm sending an epistle to you. I love you to bits. He wanted to encourage them. Out of sight wasn't out of mind. And again, folks, you know, folk who perhaps are going through within our fellowship, challenging times, it's good that they know they're not out of our mind. One of the things which I've learned and still learning, I suppose, is that when I just think about myself and reflect perhaps on a particular challenge that I may be facing, I get consumed by it, and faith can go out the window pretty quickly. Unbelief, doubts, and all that sort of thing. But when I read the Word, get in the Word, when I pray, and when I think about a brother or a sister or a neighbour or somebody who actually is in greater need than me, and God gives me the heart to bless them, to pray for them, to visit them, then I'm no longer so much consumed about my own self. Bearing one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. We're talking about sacrificial loving. We're talking about sacrificial giving. As God directs us. As God directs us. But we've got to be open for that, friends. We've got to love one another. We live with one another. We must encourage one another. We ought to look for those who need encouragement, to offer those minutes of listening, to stand in prayer together, to send a card, make a phone call, visit. And the next one is very similar in verse 2 of chapter 3. And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Verse 4, for in fact we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know, strengthening one another. Strengthening, very similar to encouraging, but strengthening one another. Paul is using even his challenges, his difficulties, to teach his friends. And his goal is not that they simply feel better, but that their faith becomes stronger. That their faith becomes stronger. Let's just read Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And I pray we will be strengthening each other. Not just strengthening ourselves through the Word of God, which is most, most important, but speaking that word of encouragement, of strength over people. Hallelujah. Strengthening and continuing in the faith. Friends, if I asked if anyone wanted to put their hand up who had a desire to make shipwreck of their faith, I don't think any hands would go up. Because I don't think there's anyone in this congregation this morning who wants to make shipwreck of their faith. They want to endure to the end. They want to make it to the end. And that's part of church community, isn't it? To encourage us to make it to the end, to keep on going. Patience, perseverance. That we continue steadfast in our faith. And it is through tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. So much of the rubbish which you may hear on so-called Christian TV denies this scripture and many others. But, you know, to enter the kingdom of God, we have to humble ourselves. We have to come as little children. We receive the kingdom by faith. Hallelujah. He gives us his kingdom. It is within us. Hallelujah. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. And I'd rather be on God's side than many hymns. I'll tell you that now. I tell you that now, friends. Because I know my God will not let me down. He may take me through paths which I just do not understand, but I've got a brother who will come alongside me and say, hey Jim, don't take your eyes off Jesus. This may be a difficult path for you, but he's faithful, and he'll bring you through. Keep on trucking. That's the community, strengthening one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, friends, troubles are an inevitable consequence of our commitment to Jesus. If you're going to live godly, you're going to have some trouble from the world. And you may, as the Bible says, get some trouble from your family, from your colleagues. It may be tough, you may have to make choices. But if the choices are made in Christ, what have you to fear? What have I to fear? Better to suffer reproach with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, to get the pleasure of man, to get the world's okay. The fear of man brings a snare. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Oh, friends, it's pointing to Jesus. It's pointing to the joy, the reward that one day you will have. Hallelujah. And don't forget, whatever battle you're going through right now, it's not yours. It's the Lord's. He's in charge. Encourage one another. Let us work to the building of faith of others. We have the responsibility of mutual growth. Or one more important thing we must say, pray for one another. We keep saying this. You know, friends, we spoke about prayer lists the other day. Some have, some don't. Whatever's helpful. But it is good to pray for members of your Connect group, pray for those who are perhaps on the peripheral of the church who've not yet really made a commitment. Pray God's word over them. We mentioned last week, didn't we, that the Apostle Paul, in his various letters, talks about being in Christ at least 160 times, in him, in the beloved, in the Lord, 160 times. So many in even Paul's letters that I can pray over you, I can pray over you. In my morning devotions, this morning, give my brother this promise, dear Lord. I'm praying this over him, over her. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. The word of God can unlock situations where the words of man can often bring just confusion. But we are to encourage each other. We are to pray for one another. How important is faithfulness in prayer? Lord, help me to pray more. Those effective prayers. This does apply to us today. If we are to live like Jesus lived and love like Jesus loved, how does that shape our decisions? How does it shape our behaviour? It must influence our prayer life, dear friends. We have a tremendous privilege to pray for one another in the body of Christ. In other words, we have this great, great privilege of going straight to Almighty God through Jesus Christ and ask him to move on behalf of our brothers and sisters. We can pray that God will help them and us, and that we will love more like he does. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing in this text. As I conclude, I heard, and I've had it repeated more than once, of a young pastor. We're talking about loving, living with one another, encouraging, strengthening, pray for one another. I heard of a young pastor, and he preached his first sermon in rather quite a large church in a big city. He was a young man, preached his first sermon. And afterwards, a much older man said to him, "Well, thank you, that's the word of God. I appreciate that." And the pastor thought, yes, is there a but coming? And there was no but coming. And the pastor says, "Do you know," he said, "this morning I got two others to meet early to pray for you. There's three of us." The next week, that man got 10 others. There were 13 to pray. And it grew to 25. And after a couple of months, there were 50 people regularly praying on a Sunday morning and at other times during the week for the service of the house of God, for the minister, for the pastor. And you know, and this is a true story, within 12 months, 600 people had been added to that church, because every time that pastor came up into the pulpit, he came under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He knew people had prayed. He knew he was able to deliver the word of God powerfully and effectively, just as the Apostle Paul did. Pray for one another. Pray for me. We spoke last week, friends, about sometimes a tendency that we rush into the house of the Lord, or we get involved in conversations before or afterwards, which can allow the word to dissipate, that it falls on stony ground or rocky ground or the thorns on the wayside. But if we're really seeking the Lord, if we're praying for the pastor, praying for the musicians, praying for each other, praying for the sick person, praying one for another, praying for the lost community, everything takes on new dimensions, because we're in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. May God help us to love one another fervently. Amen.